Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Credito Real Investor Relations conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Angel Romano Sperandio, Chief Executive Officer. You may begin.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for our fourth quarter 2014 conference call. As you all know, the macroeconomic environment in Mexico has been unfavorable for most companies. GDP growth has been below expectations and consumer credit expanded at a slow 6% rate in 2014, showing also a small deterioration in non-performing loans from 4.96% to 5.21% for the whole system. Nevertheless, Credito Real sees a tremendous market opportunity in serving those customers who have limited access to credit. Looking forward, we believe this approach will allow us to keep outperforming the market and sector growth while keeping our NPLs low and under control. During 2014, our loan portfolio grew at a 32% rate, while our non-performing loans remained at 1.9%. Our loan book growth is well diversified across our five products, reaching double-digit growth in most of them. But even a stronger growth was recorded in used car loans. Our return on equity reached 27% in the fourth quarter and 25% for the full year. Fourth quarter's net income increased by 18% and our annual net income increased by 22%, outperforming our 2014 guidance of 16 to 18% net income growth. Once again, our distribution network kept growing and setting the basis for future loan portfolio expansion. Our Drive and Cash partnership launched 14 new branches this quarter, reaching 35 dealers in Mexico, reaching 35 branches. And our traditional used car business entered into three new agreements with car dealers in Mexico, totaling 17 agreements. Similarly, our group loan partners at Contigo launched the 108th new branch, and now we have more than 110,000 customers in total for this business line. Regarding payroll, we continued to consolidate our leadership position by acquiring the remaining 51% stake of Condinero, of which we already owned 49%. The acquisition was formally completed in November 2014 and is a strategic step towards increasing our profitability and portfolio yield in the future. We continue to assess acquiring the 51% equity of the other two main payroll distributors in which we already own 49% stakes as of today. During 2014, we achieved significant expansion in the used car, SMEs, and group loans. Together, these three products weigh today more than 14% of our loan portfolio. Our long-term guidance appoints for a 37% participation. The strategy to achieve this is to increase our presence with used cars and SMEs distributors and finding more consolidation opportunities in group loans. We are also looking forward to finding more business opportunities in the payroll business, as well as consolidation of more distributors. In the case of durable goods business, we are prospecting new distributors and looking to increase our participation with existing ones. We are also evaluating other alternatives to increase origination, such as e-commerce, telemarketing, and in-house credit cards. This is the line of business that has suffered the most with Mexico's slow economy. Regarding funding, we recently received an upgrade from Standard & Poor's in our corporate rating from BB to BB+ on a global scale. This one-notch rating upgrade also applied to all our debt instruments. Our results, it's important to say that our results were unaffected by the recent depreciation of the Mexican peso against the US dollar, as all of our US-denominated debt instruments are completely hedged with cross-currency swaps covering both principal and interest. Our quarter's average funding cost reached 7% and 7.5% for the full year. Regarding our banking license initiative, we expect such process to finalize in 2016, We are anticipating a longer process for the authorities to grant a final approval. In the meanwhile, we are evaluating alternatives such as acquiring an established small bank, which could bring a more expedited process. At our shareholders' meeting held in December 2014, a dividend policy was approved, consisting of distributing up to 20% of the previous year's net income, as long as the debt-to-equity ratio is less than 4 times and the capitalization index exceeds 20%. It also approved a dividend payment in December, which was made in 2 parts. One part was paid in shares from the share buyback program for 2.4 million shares, and the other part paid in cash for 85 million pesos. The total dividend distributed was approximately 43 cents per share, or about 17% payout of the 2013 net income. In 2014, our net income reached 1,225 million pesos, increasing 22% year over year. Our guidance for 2015 contemplates a 15 to 18% net income growth, fostered by continuing to reach new markets and customers in our loan portfolio. We are also establishing a goal of having an ROE of 25%. We are confident that our sound long-term strategy conveyed during our Investor Day will continue to deliver growth and high returns. We are satisfied with the stock performance of Crédito Real during 2014. Our stock price increased almost 60% in 2014. During the year, we made important efforts to increase our stock visibility. Our institutional investor base got more diversified, increasing from 15 to over 50 key investors. The jump in our daily stock liquidity from under $1 million to $2 million allowed us to start ranking in the IPC index filter in the 43rd place of the Mexican stock market. We know there are still opportunities ahead of us, and we are confident of moving in the right direction to become a more liquid and visible company. Regarding our buyback program, we have been active participants, adding extra liquidity to the market. Given our current stock valuation, we expect to remain very active through our 2 buyback brokers. 2015 will be a very important year for us, as some of our new business lines are growing rapidly and strongly consolidating. And so we expect to see these efforts becoming earnings in the near future. With this, I thank you again for being with us in the call, and I will now turn the call over to Lorena, our CFO, for a closer look at fourth quarter results. Lorena.
Thank you, Angel. Good morning, and thank you for taking part in Crédito Real's quarterly conference call. As Angel mentioned, our business model continues to reach new customers among all loan products. Our distribution network keeps getting larger. Each quarter, Crédito Real serves the segments of the population with limited credit access. Regarding the loan portfolio increased by 32% to reach 13,804 million pesos at the end of the fourth quarter 14, compared to 10,423 million pesos recorded at the end of the fourth quarter 13. The loan book growth was driven by expansion in all our products. However, we observed a stronger expansion in used cars, SMEs, and group loans, which accounted for more than 55% of total origination. Regarding loan origination, during the quarter, we reported a decrease in small business and durable good loan origination. During the fourth quarter 13, Crédito Real signed a strategic alliance with Fondo H and acquired a 657 million peso loan portfolio. Excluding the loan portfolio acquisition, the fourth quarter 14 loan portfolio SME origination increased 110% year over year. In the case of durable goods, loan origination decreased due to a weak consumer lending environment, and we also stopped originating new loans with 3 retail. As we previously mentioned, for durable goods loan origination, we're prospecting new retailers and evaluating other alternatives to increase origination, such as e-commerce, telemarketing, and in-house credit cards. Allowances for loan losses. now fully reflect the methodology changes required by banking regulation, increased to 106.7% year-over-year, while the expenditure of provision for loan losses decreased 14.2%. In spite of the allowances increase, our non-performing loans 1.9% at the end of the fourth quarter 14. Interest income. During the fourth quarter, interest income reached 995.3 million pesos, increasing 27% when compared to the fourth quarter 13. This amount includes income from Condinero. Since November, we began Condinero financial statement consolidation. For the full year, interest income increased 22% when compared to 2013. Financial margin. The financial margin increased 32.4% to 776 million pesos, showing interest income growth and a decrease in funding costs. Similarly, full year financial margin rose 22.2% when compared to 2013. Net income. Net income increased 17.6% in the fourth quarter, reaching 345 million pesos compared to 293 million pesos in the fourth quarter 13. Consequently, the net income for the full year 2014 increased 22%, reaching 1,224.8 million pesos. Regarding Crédito Real key indicators, cost of funds. In 2014, the cost of funds reached 7.5%, an improvement to 8.7% recorded in 2013. Non-performing loans. NPLs reached 1.9% at the end of the fourth quarter 14, compared to 1.5% ratio as of the fourth quarter 13. Our long-term objective is to keep our NPL ratio between 2 and 3% as we are buying the loan portfolio. During the fourth quarter 14, we experienced a return on average assets of 7.4% compared to 8.3% in the fourth quarter 13. Our return on average equity was 26.6% in the fourth quarter 14 compared to 27.3% reached in fourth quarter 13. Both figures reflect the shift in portfolio mix experienced during the year. The effect of a higher investment in security balance and our recent investment in the remaining 51% share from Dinero, and as previously mentioned, since November 2014, Montenegro's financial statements have been consolidated in great financial statements, having a direct impact in our top line, in our interest income, and in our SG&A and administrative costs. Annual return on average assets, annual return on average equity show an improvement from 24.5% to 24.7%. Efficiency ratio. Our efficiency ratio reached 32.3% in 2014. Compared to 21.3 in 2013. The increase is explained by the consolidation of Condinero in Crédito Real's results. Condinero bears the cost of sales force required to distribute payroll loans in 16 states of the country. Our capitalization ratio and debt-to-equity ratio show a more efficient use of capital. The capitalization ratio came down to 39% from 42%, and our debt-to-equity ratio increased to 2.5 times from 2.3 times reported last year. Our return on average equity reached 27% for the quarter and 25% for the full year, and our return on average assets reached 7% for both cases. We continue to be one of the most efficient companies in the sector with a 30% efficiency ratio reported in the quarter. November 2014, Continental Operator is consolidated in our financial statements. Before I conclude my remarks, let me emphasize that our guidance for 2015 of a 15% to 18% net income growth and a return on average equity of 25% highlights Crédito Real's confidence on our approach to market, our strong credit platform, and our management. We're confident to deliver loan portfolio growth and profitability during 2015 and the years to come. With this, I conclude my remarks. Now let me turn the call to the operator. Operator, please.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please signal by one of the chat. For phone, please make sure your phone is turned off. Equipment. Again, that's star one to signal for a question, and we'll pause for just a moment to assemble our queue. And we'll take our first question. Barta, Deutsche Bank.
Hi, good morning, Angel and Lorena. Thank you for the call. My question is trying to just see how much Condinero contributed to the results. Do you have some color on that? You know, if you exclude Condinero, you know, what your results would have looked like, or how much Condinero contributed in the quarter. Also, in terms of the guidance for the year, you're guiding 15 to 18% earnings growth, but how much of that is coming from Condinero? Just trying to get, you know, a sense of the underlying trends, particularly, you know, one of the concerns have been your net interest margin had been falling quite a bit. So you just want to see if you know, how the trend for margin is when you exclude the benefit from Condinero. Thank you.
Hello, Tito. Good morning. Regarding Condinero, it's very important to highlight the fact that, again, Crédito Real, since 2011, we invested in them. We invested through a share swap. And after three successful years, we now are investing in the remaining 51%. Investments should allow Crédito Real to not only to grow, but make it even more profitable. And this is the exact case on Condinero. So as we highlighted in our investor day, this has a direct implication in our top line in interest income, has a direct implication in the administrative cost. Again, we're bearing the cost of the sales force. And those are the two main lines that affected directly to our bottom line. And again, allowed us to increase our net income for the quarter to 345 million pesos.
But answering your question, Tito, the Condinero numbers for the last quarter contributed with about 40 million pesos. We already remember we owned 49% stake in them. We already had 50% of the income in our books, and then we had half of their income. So we already had 75% of the income in our books, and only 25% of the Condinero income will come to us. When you ask about how much is this of the 15 to 18%, it's difficult to quantify, but I would say it's 1 or 2%, no more than that.
Okay,
I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, no, that is very helpful just to get a sense. And also just following up a little bit more on the net interest margin, because, you know, it spiked quite a bit in the quarter, I know, benefiting from the Condinero. But just want to get a sense of, like, underlying trends, you know, how are you seeing kind of just spreads in general, particularly, I guess, on your payroll loans, but in each of the segments, and, you know, but what would your net interest margin have looked like? I want to get a sense, you know, underlying trends of the business.
I think that the net interest margin bottomed by half of last year. There was a lot of pressure with interest rates on the payroll business mainly. We saw this pressure dissipate at the last quarter, and the beginning of the year is starting with stable interest rates, and we don't see net interest margins coming down below where we are today. But on the contrary, we see them being stable or a bit up for the year.
And particularly to Angel's point, so we're coming from a NIM of 16, now back to a NIM of 22%. And as we move forward, those should remain around the 20%. And again, looking forward, we have the option to buy the remaining two payable distributors, and that should allow us even to strengthen that position. But for 2015, we will have Condinero's effect that you're already seeing in this fourth quarter, and again, margins should be expected on that 20%.
Okay, great. That's very helpful. Thank you.
We'll take our next question from Delgado with JP Morgan.
Hi, thank you for taking my questions. I have three questions, actually. One, I just wanted to get some clarity with relation to derivatives on your book. I noticed on the balance sheet that the derivatives number rose dramatically. You talked a little bit about that. Then I'll keep those questions. I just get a sense. So your new outlook, based on what you said then, flat since 2015, correct?
Chris, it was very hard to listen to you.
Hi,
can you understand the question?
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes, much better.
Okay, so my first question relates to the balance sheet. I noticed that there was a lot of derivatives on the balance sheet this quarter. Could you explain a little bit about what those are? And then just reflecting back on Tito's question, from my understanding, what you guys are basically saying is that net interest margins for the firm should be flat for this year. Is that correct?
Okay, now we understood your question. So let's go through the derivative part. So as Angel mentioned, all of our U.S.-denominated debt, we have a full cross-currency swap. And so given the peso devaluation, you have a positive mark-to-market position on the hedge, on the cross-currency swap. What you're seeing in the balance sheet is reflected both on the asset and the liability side. So you're going to see in the mark-to-market valuation on a peso basis of almost 950 million pesos that you're adding to your asset side. And the same will be doing that on the liability side. And that is part of our total indebtedness. Also the same 950. So that is why you don't have a P&L impact, and you're just giving and recognizing, according to accounting rules, the reported mark-to-market from all of our counterparts. I don't know if...
Yeah, no, that's helpful.
Now regarding your NIMs, we had talked about NIMs and we had talked about yields. We had a downward trend really pushed by the portfolio mix during 2014. After our Continero investment, and I think we cleared this up in the Investor Day, we were looking to shift this trend, and you're seeing that now in our numbers, both on the interest income side and the NIM.
Okay,
now,
that,
looking forward, I don't know exactly.
No, continue. Sorry, looking forward. No, sorry, I said continue.
Thank you.
Should
we go to the next question, operator?
We'll go next to Autumn Graham with Ice Cannon.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my calls. I have a few questions. I wanted to know, first of all, if you could just go through the composition of the short-term debt between local market debt, credit lines, and the dollar bonds. And then secondly, I wondered about, you know, expectations for asset quality. I know that, you know, there is a target for 2 to 3% of NPLs, but, you know, did that kind of imply some deterioration there? And then thirdly, just on the centralization of teachers' payrolls, you know, in the system, do you expect any kind of delays in payments just from the transition process of, you know, the mechanics of how things are done?
Very good. Good morning. So looking into funding, I mean, in our press release, we give a very comprehensive detail about it, but I will run through it very carefully right now. About 20% of our total indebtedness is coming from notes issued in the local market, both short-term and medium-term, and Cebures. 32% come from our bank credit lines. We currently operate with 14 different banks, and we have a utilization of credit lines of around 75%. And then the remaining portion, which is approximately 47%, is coming from our senior note, which was issued last year and is maturing in March of 2019. Now, regarding non-performing loans?
The asset quality, we expect to remain the same in 2015. We've always given guidance from 2 to 3%, but we've been able to keep NPLs below 2% for the past 5 to 6 years. We believe we can remain doing that for the coming years. The centralization of the payroll loans, it's been very good for us. We have been receiving payments since the first half of January. We are receiving our third payment now at the half of of February every 15 days. It's been very normalized. Things are working very good, and this will prove very good for Crédito Real because we used to deal with 32 different states trying to get our payments, and today 85% of the teachers are being paid on a federal way, centralized, and we are going to get the payments on time and every 15 days without the hustle of going to 32 different states and many different unions to collect. So this is working very well and should prove to be a very good thing for Crédito Real in the near future.
Okay, thank you for that. I guess just for a quick clarification on the short-term debt composition, I was wondering, I'm not sure if you'll disclose this later, but the breakdown of exactly the short-term debt, maybe if just maybe what the number of the local debt is of the short-term debt?
So in short-term, for the full year of 2015, approximately 30% of our total indebtedness will mature during the year. Coming from local notes and bank credit, what will be maturing during 2015.
You need any other type of information that we could mail you or something on short-term debt?
Sure, I'll follow up. Thank you.
And as a reminder, it is star one to signal for a question. We'll go next to Enrique Mendoza with Interaciones.
Hi, good morning to all. Angel, thank you for taking my question. Some of my questions have been answered already, but I have three gaps. In the first part, a follow-on on the derivatives question, just a clarification. My question is related to the P&L. Regarding to the cost of funding, I mean to the 219 million pesos of interest expense, could you tell us how much of the interest expense accrued during the period was due to recognition of mark-to-market derivatives? The second one is regarding cost of risk. It is a very good result, the 2.7% cost of risk that you reached during the last quarter. Do you think that level could be sustainable for the whole year, for 2015? And the third question, if I may, could you bring us some kind of breakdown or some idea about how much of your quarterly operating expenses were related to marketing efforts and how much to personal expenses? Thank you very much.
Sorry, but the quality of the line is very bad. I cannot hear anything about the question. I don't know if you can use another phone or something, because there was a lot of noise.
Operator, is there a problem with the line? There was really too much noise in the line.
Yeah, unfortunately, I believe it's just his line. We'll move on to our next question from Chris Delgado with JP Morgan.
Hi, sorry. I actually had one other question. Can you guys hear me okay?
Perfectly.
Okay, good then. So my other question just relates to the tax rate was a bit low this quarter. It was about 20%, and it kind of helped your results. I just wanted to get a sense of what the driver was and maybe a tax outlook for 2015.
Chris, is your question regarding taxes?
Yes.
The tax rate. So for the year, we're at 23%, very similar to last year. So 23% income tax rate for 2013 and 2014. For the quarter, fourth quarter 2013, we had a rate close to 25.5%. And for the fourth quarter 14, you have it at 22.5%, something like that. This 15 difference in the tax rate is mainly driven, again, from the consolidation of Condinero. And so there was a certain differences with particularly on the Condinero side, but again, remaining very close to our 23% rate for the year 2015, that tax rate should remain on 23% level.
Thank you.
And we'll go next to Carlos Post CX.
Hi, good morning. This is Rodrigo Heredia. Thank you for the call. I don't know if this has been answered. I'm sorry for that, but can you give us a little color about the bank license for water, please?
The timeline, can you repeat again, please?
If you can give us a little more color about the bank license.
We are working on that. We have been going at a slow pace. We have been doing all the manuals, everything that has to be done inside the company. We have been working with the authorities. The process has gone slower than we thought at the beginning. There's some noise in the market. There was the Bicentenario Bank thing. Now there's the Ficrea, so authorities are very cautious and going slower than we thought. We are taking another avenue. We're still going through the regular process, and we are going to achieve that sooner or later. But then again, we're looking at other alternatives, and one of them may be to buy a bank. So that's where we stand today, and we'll let you know how things are going throughout the quarter calls.
And we'll take our next question from Jose Cuenca with Interacciones.
Hi, guys. This is Enrique from Interacciones. I just changed my telephone. Good morning for all. I thank you for taking my question. Can you listen to me? Is there still a lot of noise?
Enrique, we cannot hear you clearly, actually. It's very noisy, the line. I don't know what happened.
Can you take the... Are you on a...
I will try to be...
Yes, if you turn off the speaker, maybe... I mean...
Okay. Of course. Is it okay for you?
And I do apologize. We'll move on to Carlos Ugal with Signum Research.
Hello, good morning. Well, my question is about the cost of risk. What are you expecting for the cost of risk for 2015? And with the consolidation of Condinero, which was the difference between the cost of risk before and after? I mean the spread in basis points, which was the difference? And also with the mix of the portfolio, what is going to occur?
Carlos, what we expect, even with the shift in the portfolio, is to keep good quality of our assets, as Credito Real has done for the last 14 or 15 quarters. So we do expect we're at 1.9% NPL, trying to keep it as low as that, and again, in the future, maybe going very slowly, 2 to 2.1%, something like that. But again, always, and the guidance from a Credito Real perspective, you're seeing it in our Investor Day presentation, even up to 2019, is to remain with non-performing loans from 2 to 3%. From a Condinero standpoint of view, again, with our payroll distributors, we share interest income and we share risk. Now, through consolidation, we're doubling our interest income, but of course, we're doubling our risk, and again, the positioning should increase. Now, we expect the cost of risk during 2015 to be close to between 3.5 to 4%, and that is what should be happening the next year. Again, looking at Credito Real, always keeping in mind that when we grant loans, we always think how we're going to collect them, and giving all the right mechanisms to ensure this type of performance. And you can see throughout all of our products that our NPLs have a superior asset quality and are lower than the rest of the financial sector, and we're doing every single effort to keep maintaining these type of ratios.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
And we have no further questions at this time. And I'm sorry, we do have a question on the phone. We'll go to Victor Sato with Invex.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for your call, for the call. I have a question regarding the union strikes that there are in the process in Guerrero. You mentioned something about it in your in the statement about the financial results. Could you develop or comment about how could be the impact of these strikes on the on your loan portfolio that you have right now in Guerrero or in the places that you are seeing we are seeing some union strikes or and the future how could be impact loan growth in for coming in taking consideration these union strikes.
So Guerrero has been getting late on the payment since a year and a half ago. Every late payment is provisioned in Credito Real or has gone through the results as non-performing loan. Today we're getting all the payments from the federal teachers in Guerrero, which is about 89% of the teachers on time through the new payment process through the TESOFE. And we're working on getting the late payments back to us. We don't expect this to be a big problem. On the contrary, we expect it to get better through time and through the consolidation of payments in the PETOFE. So I believe we've seen the worst of Guerrero, and not only Guerrero, but Oaxaca and Michoacán are on the same basis. So we're working on getting the late payments back to us, but these payments have already been provisioned or gone through results. So we don't expect to have any real impact on Credito Real's results in the future.
Excellent. Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from David Lee with Lizard Investors.
Hi, guys. Great. Thanks for taking my question. Just on the NPL side, can you give me a little bit of sort of insights on just on a payroll side, why the kind of NPL went up on a year-on-year basis, and same for the small business? Also on a used car business, I was a little surprised on how that's, you know, you guys are growing rapidly, but NPLs are actually coming down. So if you could just give qualitative insights, and I have another follow-up.
The explanation for NPLs going up on payroll was what we just talked about with the Guerrero, Oaxaca, and Michoacán states being late on payments last year. This has already gone through our P&L and our balance sheet, so you shouldn't see any effect going forward. Payments are coming in regularly now with the centralization of the teachers' payments. And on the used cars, remember that our drive and cash model, which is our fastest growing product, we don't really lend for a used car, but we get the used car as guarantee for the loan we make. So we call it the used car business, but we really take the car as a guarantee for the loan. And our NPLs should be very low because we only lend about 50% of the value of the car. And then we get the car back to the person the day they pay us back. We give the title. It's like title lending that you call in the States. So the risk is very low for us in that product, and that's the line of business we're growing very, very rapidly. We closed the year with 35 branches. Today we're up to 46 branches, and we plan to keep growing because it's proven to be a very good product.
Great. Also have a question about sort of the allowances for loan losses, and I jumped on a call a little bit late, so I might have missed this. But how much of this increase, you know, it was up over 100%. How much of the increase due to the regulatory factor, I think you guys have to, how much of it is really due to sort of economic normalized increase?
Good morning. Regarding allowances, you can see the difference between 2013 and 2014. As of 2013, our coverage ratio of allowances in relationship to NPLs was closer to 120-130%. And for 2014, once we changed the methodology based on expected losses, our coverage ratio of allowances in relationship to NPLs have been closer to 160-170%. So in short, we've moved from being between 120 to 130 coverage ratio to between 160 and 170 coverage ratio.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that increase is not really because of economics. It's really because of the regulatory want, not just you guys, but the other guys to be conservative to do this, right?
You're correct. It's all related to the regulatory. Our asset quality has pretty much remained the same.
Okay. Okay. Great. And also on the provision for loan losses and on P&L, I was very surprised. That's down actually quite significantly year over year. Like the provision for loan losses, could you please explain why you guys were down so much?
Again, there's different things that are happening in Crédito Real. So at the fourth quarter of 2013, we were just coming up with increasing certain pieces of the loan portfolio, particularly on the SME side. And again, we had just invested in a significant loan portfolio of $657 million. What you're seeing during 2014 is we didn't do any particular purchase of a loan portfolio, so you're on a more regular basis. We've been outperforming in our collections. So pretty much the way we've rated and the loan portfolio is what's driving us to increase our provisioning level to that proportion. So that's pretty much what you're seeing is that the intrinsic value of the portfolio in itself.
Okay. And I have one more question. So you guys are issuing stock to buying the 51% joint venture or partnership that you guys don't own. At the same time, you guys are doing share repurchases for the overall company. I just want to understand what's the thought process when you guys make that kind of transition? Because you're issuing shares, then you're buying shares back, right? So I want to understand what's the thought process in that.
The fact of issuing shares was something very particularly that had been announced ever since we invested in Condinero back in June of 2011. So since inception, we invested 49% through our share swap, and we announced we had the option of acquiring the remaining 51% again through another share swap. So what you're seeing happening at the end of October 2014 is really the performance of what had been disclosed even prior to the IPO. Our practice on participating in the buyback program has really been consistent in really providing liquidity to our daily trading and really strengthening our participation in the market.
Okay, thank you so much.
And with no further thank questions you. In the queue, I'd like to turn the conference back over to management for any additional questions.
Thank you very much, everybody, for participating. Our lines are always open for all of you for any questions you have. We thank you again.
Thank you.
Again, that does conclude today's presentation. We thank you for your participation.